A fantastic Friday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. It now is official. Dylan Brooks has been suspended for Game 3 of the Warriors-Grizzlies series. And while his loss will certainly be felt, how the Grizzlies will be able to make up for that, plus how the return of Steven Adams could potentially be a big benefit for the Grizzlies. That and much more as we preview Game 3 of the Warriors-Grizzlies playoff series here on Locked On Grizzlies. Let's go!
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having an outstanding start to your Friday. It's the weekend, and for many of us, you know, hey, that means a lot of exciting things going on. Listen, the spring is transitioning to early summer. We've got a lot of movies coming out. Go see Doctor Strange 2, by the way. Multiverse of Madness, looking forward to it. Hey, all joking aside, though, when it comes to Grizzlies fans, the excitement is that we are now one day away from Grizzlies basketball once again. Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizz, the show itself free on all podcast platforms. Wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Obviously, you know me, myself, my co-host, DeMichael Cole, credential media members with the Grizzlies, DeMichael with the commercial appeal, myself with Grizzly Bear Blues, and your co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies. So let's get right into it. Obviously, the big news of Thursday was the official announcement that Grizzlies wing Dylan Brooks has been suspended for Game 3. And that was no surprise to many of us because of the fact that from Game 2, especially after Game 1, in which there was the flagrant from Draymond Green to Brandon Clark, and then the unfortunate incident to start Game 2 where it became Dylan Brooks, you know, it was hard foul on Gary Payton Jr., unfortunately leading to Gary Payton Jr.'s elbow injury. This was the expected outcome. I know there was speculation on, you know, could Jordan Poole be suspended because he came off the bench? You know, a lot of different things that were out there. But the point is that at the end of the day, what we all expected did occur, and Dylan Brooks will be unavailable for Game 3. And of course, Draymond also got a $25,000 fine. Now, let's look at this a little bit when it comes to Dylan Brooks. His absence in Game 3, I know that there's a narrative out there that, you know, perhaps the Grizzlies, you know, they won Game 2 without Dylan Brooks. They were able to win Game 2 with Dylan Brooks being ejected for 45 minutes. Jaw obviously going off. The Grizzlies' defense playing very well. Zaire Williams stepping up in Brooks' role and delivering four threes and very good defense. All those things certainly did matter. The point that I want to make is that the formula for the Grizzlies that won them Game 2, it's going to be pretty hard for them to be able to replicate that formula in Game 3. I'm not saying that they cannot. But Ja going off for 45-plus, the Grizzlies holding the Warriors to under 20% shooting from three when the Warriors attempt 37 shots, that's just hard to replicate. There's a reason why you rarely see that type of offensive performance from one player and that type of defensive performance from a team. Dylan Brooks helps this team out on defense, especially on the road. When the Grizzlies have played the Warriors well on the road, yes, they won on the road earlier this year without Dylan Brooks. But Dylan has certainly done a good job of contesting Steph Curry, especially on the road in Golden State over the past few years. So, yes, I do think that the Grizzlies without Dylan Brooks, they're not at their best version. I talked about this with Parker Fleming on the Longview podcast. Make sure you listen to that when you get the chance from Grizzly Bear Blues. But my point is that I understand when it comes to Dylan Brooks, his bad shots are basically like extra turnovers that the Grizzlies have to overcome. And let's be honest, in the game plus 3 minutes that he's played this series, he has not been good offensively. He absolutely has not. But the potential is there, like it was in Game 6, for Dylan to be that extra source of three-point shooting that you're not going to have in this game. And you're going to need as many options when it comes to the three-point shooting if Desmond Bane is less than 100%. So I know that the production so far in this series on offense has not been there, but you're losing another potential outlet that certainly could stand out. If Desmond Bane is not at 100% and you need a complementary factor that the Warriors have to contend with when it comes to Dillon Brooks. But of course, again, it's the defense where the Grizzlies are really going to miss Dillon. And let's also be honest. There were a couple of factors in Game 2 that have a good chance of improving on the Warriors' end in Game 3. Their general three-point shooting, I don't think that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are going to consistently stay at a 13 from 45 clip from three like they have been over the first two games. The Grizzlies, I do feel, play a big part in that. But the Warriors also saw their open shot field goal percentage, their uncontested shot field goal percentage, drop from 49% in game one to 39% in game two. That's a big of a drop off to allow for the Grizzlies to help the Grizzlies get the victory. If the Warriors get back to making 45%+ of their open shot attempts, then the Grizzlies are going to have to become more effective on offense. And so, yes, the loss of Dillon Brooks certainly is something, in a nutshell, we have proof, may not seem that impactful because the Grizzlies were able to win without him. But as I've mentioned before, the best version of the Grizzlies is with Dillon's ability to play defense, especially against such a good perimeter-oriented team, where Dillon can switch between the different options the Warriors can throw out there to make them uncomfortable with his physical play. You're going to miss that. And you're also going to miss the potential that you could have with him being a complementary scoring option to Ja Morant. But at the end of the day, we could sit here and talk, you know, all we want to about what we're missing with Dillon Brooks. He's not available. So what do you do with who is? My opinion is you certainly do feature Kyle Anderson and Zaire Williams. Personally, I would go with Kyle Anderson in the starting lineup. I know that I keep fixating on Kyle Anderson in the starting lineup for the Grizzlies. And I know that the Grizzlies really have not gone that route as of yet. But a Ja Desmond, if he can go, and I would imagine if he went in game two, he's a pretty good chance he's going to go in game three. I would go with the lineup of Ja, Desmond, Kyle, Jaren, and Steven Adams. And the reason why I would do that is because you get the rebounding edge. Kyle Anderson, in my opinion, is a command center that could do a very good job, especially without Dillon being in the game. I think Kyle Anderson could be a command center that can help Taylor Jenkins implement any early or immediate adjustments that he needs to make on defense if the Warriors get off to a good start. And I also think, as I mentioned, you got the rebounding edge. But at the end of the day, I think without Dillon Brooks, just in general, you've got some of your best passing options in the game, with Desmond and Kyle and Steven Adams to complement Ja Morant. And you also, in my opinion, probably have the smartest version of your defense in the game as well with Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson Jr. But the other thing that stands out, and I'll say this again, and I'll mention it probably in the third segment again, the person with the best opportunity, the person with the most opportunity to really show he belongs and really carve out a role moving forward, even when Dillon returns, it's Zaire Williams. If Zaire Williams can have a second straight game in game three, like he did in game four, he didn't take over in any way. He didn't try to take over in any way. Zaire Williams totally focused on what he was asked to do. Be an effective perimeter defender, a long body to throw at Steph Curry and others, which he did very well doing. And be that three-point sniper on the outside to help make up for the fact that Desmond Bane was not available to be his normal self. That's exactly what Zaire Williams did. That's exactly what the Grizzlies need for Zaire Williams to do in this game. If Zaire Williams is playing good defense and making threes, that's going to be a huge boost for this Grizzlies team. Again, this Grizzlies team is at its best with Dillon Brooks being available to play. But if that's not an option, the next best thing is relying on your highest ceiling option to replace him. That is Zaire Williams. He showed it in game two. The Grizzlies, I think, should feel all the confidence in the world to rely on him to do it in game three as well. So more featured roles for Kyle Anderson and Zaire Williams are going to be the result, I feel, of being without Dillon Brooks. The defense, I think, should be least okay, though they're better with Dylan. I think the offense, to what some other people have said, I think the offense could be a bit better because I think that smarter plays are going to happen to where the Grizzlies will be able to more consistently find the best shot possible. Again, the Grizzlies, at some point in time in Game 3, I am very confident the Grizzlies are going to know they're missing Dylan Brooks, but I'm also just as confident the Grizzlies are going to be able to utilize the options that they have to make Game 3 competitive and hopefully get a victory on the road. But the return of another Grizzly certainly does help that concept, and it's Steven Adams. And while Steven Adams may not see his role be where it was during the regular season, I do feel he has he has enough of an asset in his play style to be a much bigger role in this series than he was against the Timberwolves. We'll discuss in just a moment. But before we do, I want to talk with you a bit about Built Bar. Now, Built Bar is a great option for you to make your day better. And what I mean by that is that it's such a versatile snack, right? It allows for you to have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack. You may even want to sneak it in as your lunch. It offers great health benefits, offers great taste. It's not a candy bar, so you don't have to worry about it dragging you down. It gives you energy to keep your day going. And you can get it in Built Puffs. You can get it in Built Bars. Over 18 different flavors to choose from at Built.com. But also, if you were to go to Built.com right now, put in the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off. Wow, 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Again, go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your next order. Listen, we can give you all the great analysis that we look to give you on a daily basis here on Locked On Grizzlies, but what about instant analysis after each of these playoff games? I can tell you there's no better place to go than the Locked On Now podcast. All the instant reaction, not just from the NBA playoffs, from around the sports world, the Locked On Now podcast giving you all the instant reaction to all that's going on in the sports world. Make it your second listen of the day after you make Locked On Grizzlies, obviously, your first listen of the day. So Steven Adams is back. Steven Adams has now been out. He missed 3 games due to health and safety protocols. He looks like he's back. Thankfully, you know, certainly glad to see Steven Adams, you know, in good health. Thankfully, it seems like obviously the rest of the team has not been impacted by health and safety protocols. But Steven Adams obviously being back, you know, it leads to some questions. So we obviously know that after Game 1 in the Timberwolves series, in which Steven Adams just unfortunately was the target of the Timberwolves offense, and it was in his lack of foot speed, his lack of overall ability to defend away from the basket, it unfortunately was exploited, and Steven Adams wasn't much of a part of the rest of the series. Well, the whole thing is that while the Golden State Warriors are a better team than the Minnesota Timberwolves, that's no insult to Minnesota, it's just the truth, you know, with where Golden State is as a team, while Golden State may be a better overall team than the Timberwolves, their style of play, their style of approach, their roster makeup, I think that Steven Adams could be a bigger benefit to the Grizzlies in the matchup against the Warriors than I do in the matchup against the Timberwolves. And the reason why is because you don't have as many driving options. The Warriors just do not have as many players to offer rim pressure as the Timberwolves do, which means that Steven Adams won't be caught in so many situations where the Warriors will try to take him off the dribble to the rim. And also, you don't have a score-first big man like you have with Karl Anthony Towns that could put Steven Adams in trouble, in which he would have to guard someone that he would have a hard time staying in front of. With Steven Adams, you have more of the opportunity to use his strengths in this series against the Warriors than you have the threat of his liabilities being exploited. Now, don't get me wrong. The Warriors definitely can do it. You don't want Steven Adams on an island against Jordan Poole. As a matter of fact, I would say with confidence, you probably would see worse results with Steven Adams on an island against Jordan Poole than you saw with Steven Adams on an island against Anthony Edwards, because I think Poole right now has a bit better mentality when it comes to figuring out how to get to the rim. So with Steven Adams, yes, you certainly want to prevent those situations in which he would be a defensive liability or left out on an island like he was at times against the Timberwolves. But that's why the Grizzlies should be strategic when it comes to how to utilize him. Now, one of the big reasons why I believe that Taylor Jenkins has wanted to put a traditional center in there with Jaren Jackson Jr., a big reason why he started Xavier Tillman in the first 2 games of this series, I do think that there's a good chance that Taylor Jenkins feels Jaren Jackson Jr. is more likely to be at risk of fouling in this series when he plays the center position than when he's at the four and you've got a traditional five. I think that's one big reason why Steven Adams will likely start this game, and I think that's a big reason why you may see 10 to 15 minutes of Steven Adams in the game, even if it's not all with Jaren. At the very least, it allows for the Grizzlies to have a good chance of preventing Jaren Jackson Jr. from being in foul trouble. And as we've seen in these playoffs, when Jaren Jackson Jr. does not have the threat of fouls to start the game, he is a much better offensive version of himself than if his rhythm is thrown off by committing fouls early in the game. So that's one advantage of Steven Adams obviously being utilized. Now, at the end of the day, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to play Steven Adams 20 to 25 minutes. You probably want to play him 10 to 15 minutes, and of course that minutes total be dictated by just how much his offensive rebounding and his offensive value, how much that is overcoming his defensive liability. Because if that starts to equal out, if his offensive value is not what it needs, he's not getting the offensive rebounds, he's not really being a passing hub for his teammates, there's not a lot of offensive value there, then you're just going to have to go with somebody else. Because again, at the end of the day, it's hard to see Steven Adams' overall ability to play defense being something that keeps him in these games. However, he certainly does have the experience of knowing what he needs to do against a team like the Warriors to make it work. And let's, of course, not forget the biggest of reason of all why you want Steven Adams in this game. The two areas where the Grizzlies have struggled the most in terms of the Warriors beating the Grizzlies at their own game is paint scoring and rebounds. While Steven Adams is not necessarily a paint scorer himself, he creates additional paint scoring opportunities with his offensive rebounds. The other benefit of starting Steven Adams in game three, despite the fact that you're able to likely keep Jaren out of foul trouble, which should help his game, despite the fact that Steven Adams could potentially help in the half-court offense, is Steven Adams allows for the Grizzlies to get the rebounding edge they're likely going to need. If the Warriors make more of their open shots, if the Warriors do find better luck shooting the three, it becomes more important than ever for the Grizzlies to then win the possession battle. And that comes from Steven Adams' offensive rebounding ability, and even more so, his defensive rebounding ability, which helps out with those long rebounds that we know in this series have caused the Warriors to be able to get the open looks that they need to hit threes. That's where Steven Adams comes into play as well. It's not just his offensive rebounding. It's the fact that him as a defensive rebounding presence makes it to where either he will give the defensive rebound, or if the Warriors are focusing on him to keep him off the boards, that may allow for other Grizzlies to get the rebound. So Steven Adams' presence as a rebounder certainly makes a difference, and it's not just him himself, it's the ripple effect of the Warriors having to contend with him on the boards that could open up the ability for other Grizzlies to have an easier time getting rebounds. That allows for the Grizzlies to set their tone early in the game, allows for them to get the rebounding edge, and hopefully a possession edge that will only continue to grow as the game goes on. And if the Grizzlies are doing that, that is one of the most likely avenues for them to take to get a win in game three. So again, I'm not saying that with Dillon Brooks being out, you change up what you're doing and you play Steven Adams 25 minutes. That probably does not make sense. But if you're strategic with how you use Steven Adams, perhaps to start the game, perhaps in situations where you don't have both Curry and Poole on the court, perhaps in situations where the Warriors go a bit bigger with Kevon Looney, all those different things could be ways for you to be able to use Steven Adams. And again, while it may not be necessarily as many minutes as he's played overall, in three games this year, he was a plus 10 overall against the Warriors. So he, and I know you can only put so much on individual plus minus, but he did show that he could be an asset against the Warriors. If the Grizzlies are strategic about how they use Steven Adams' minutes, especially to start the game and after, I would imagine that he's going to pay a big benefit, and he's going to pay a benefit in allowing for the Grizzlies to get that possession edge which should allow for them, which is going to be one of the most straightforward ways for the Grizzlies to win this game. So with Dylan out, Steven Adams back, obviously we all know that those are two factors that certainly are going to impact the Grizzlies' strategy to win game three. But what else comes into play for the Grizzlies to be able to get the job done against the Warriors? We'll discuss that in just a moment. But before we do, why not, when it comes to your ability to wager and bet on sports, listen, you've heard me talk about betonline.net many, many times over the past few years. But the reason I keep bringing it up is, number one, they're a great site when it comes to finding odds, when it comes to doing research, when it comes to looking at different aspects of wagering and betting on whatever sport you love. But they're so easy to use. You can do it on your mobile device. You can do it on your laptop. The fastest and easiest way for you to wager and bet on sports. And let's be honest, if you're wagering and betting on sports, one of the things that you want when it comes to the site that you use is ease, quickness, and simplicity. You don't want, because this is involving your money, right? You don't want something too complicated that either takes too long for you to maybe second guess yourself on what wager you're wanting to make, or a site that, you know, is complicated on how, on where your money goes after you, you know, submit it for a bet, or it takes a hard time trying to get your money back. You want simplicity. You want ease. You want something that you can consistently use without hesitation when it comes to wagering and betting on sports. There's no better place than betonline.net. Check it out today. Obviously, we'll be back with you on a special Sunday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I know it's Mother's Day, and happy early Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there, not only in Grizzdom, but also around the world. But obviously, we want to make sure also that you get the latest coverage when it comes to everything Grizzlies, and we'll have plenty to talk about after Game 3, a special Sunday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast as a post-game edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast after Game 3. Against the Warriors. So it's going to get interesting, I think, when it comes to Game 3, because there's several narratives that are certainly out there. One is, with two games now in this series, let's be honest, things have become chippy. Things certainly have gotten physical. Things have got chaotic, what have you. I would imagine it's likely that the NBA wants to cut that down. They want to cut that down. And I'll be honest with you, I imagine that they especially want to try to cut that down in one of their premier locations when it comes to playing basketball, obviously where the Warriors play. I'm not trying to add any conspiracy or anything like that, but obviously the playoffs, they're a revenue-generating event for the NBA. The NBA wants to make sure that these playoff games, especially when it, you know, has one of their darling teams in it like the Golden State Warriors, and to be honest, one of their best up-and-coming players in Ja Morant on one of the biggest stage in the playoffs, they want basketball to happen, in my opinion. So I do think that the NBA refs are going to be a bit more, they're going to put a bit extra attention on making sure they crack down on any physical play. Now, my hope is not that that leads to a tighter whistle in this game, because the Grizzlies certainly do not need for a first quarter in the Warriors series to be like first quarters that were against the Timberwolves. And I'm not even suggesting that the refs were going against the Grizzlies and favoring the Timberwolves there. What I'm simply saying is a lot of fouls being called, preventing the Grizzlies from getting into a rhythm, and obviously want to avoid Jaren Jackson Jr. getting foul trouble as well. But in general, also, you don't want a lot of your players in foul trouble when you're already missing one of your better ones in Dylan Brooks. But it becomes interesting when it comes to the Grizzlies and the Warriors, because they're now both without one of their starters. I think the Warriors likely come out with their death lineup. I certainly do think that's something that they're going to do. The Warriors have struggled offensively, especially shooting, so far through two games. They're at home. I think the Warriors will see value in showing their hand right off the bat. Here is our best lineup. We have confidence in it. What the heck are you going to do about it, Memphis, without your best perimeter defender? And so what does Memphis do about it? Well, there's a couple of different things they could do, in my opinion. For one, again, the starting lineup I would go with would be Ja, Bain, Kyle, Jaren, and Steven Adams. For many of the reasons that I mentioned, I think that gives you your most intelligent defensive unit out there with Adams and Anderson and Jaren. I do think that you have a bit better passing on offense than you usually do. I think it gives you your best rebounding edge when it comes to a lineup to start off the game to get that possession edge. I think that's how they'll start out. But if the Warriors start Poole, Curry, Klay, Wiggins, and Draymond, that's a small lineup that's going to have a lot of potential open shots out on the perimeter, and that certainly is not something you want to see early in the game for the Warriors at home in Game 3. So the point that I'm getting at is that either the Grizzlies can go with a starting lineup that certainly could offer success, but one that also could mightily struggle if the Warriors get off to a good start, or you potentially could see the Grizzlies decide to go with a bit more athletic or a bit more youthful lineup. Perhaps you start Zaire in front of Kyle. You know, do the Grizzlies potentially counter by finally going with some type of lineup where they're starting Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr.? I don't think they do that. I still think that the Grizzlies find value in bringing Clark off the bench to, you know, really exploit other benches. Also, they bring Clark off the bench in case Jaren Jackson Jr. gets into foul trouble. You don't want both of them to experience early foul trouble. So I think that it becomes kind of interesting. I think you could go with either Zaire or Kyle. I do think Kyle makes the most sense in being in that environment. In the playoffs, I think Kyle probably makes the most sense. The other thing that I think Kyle helps out with is he's a bit of a calming factor. I think it's not just, you know, we talk about how Dylan Brooks is the energy factor for this team, the confidence factor for this team. He's the one who's going to get this team's energy up. He's going to be the one to really get the hype going. He basically is the heart and soul of this team when it comes to keeping the confidence going, but also keeping the energy up with his style of play, with his overall mentality. I think that Kyle Anderson has just as good of effect at times when it comes to a calming effect. I think him and Tyus Jones both have that. When it comes to the ability to communicate of what adjustments need to be made, when it comes to the ability of communicate to say, hey, we're getting a little bit, you know, too wild. Let's get back focused into playing effective defense, effective offense. I think that's something that will be very valuable in this game on the road against an opponent in the Golden State Warriors. I think, you know, at their home stadium, I think that Kyle Anderson certainly can help out with the rebounding, certainly can help out with the defense, but I do also think he can be a calming factor to make sure the Grizzlies are not getting too high, too low. They stay focused on the moment, and they go and make the most of their opportunities. But at the end of the day, the one thing that stands out to me that the Grizzlies must continue to do on defense and must find a better job of doing on offense, limiting the Warriors from finding the best shot possible in each possession as much as possible, while the Grizzlies continue to move the ball around to find their best shot as possible on as many offensive possessions. That's one thing that stood out. And a big reason why it may be is because of the fact that Ja just simply had to take over in Game 2. But the Grizzlies' overall assist numbers have been a bit down in Games 1 and Games 2. And I know that the Grizzlies' assists are not the ultimate measure of how well they're passing the basketball. But the Grizzlies also at times have struggled a bit when it comes to turnovers. And I do think also that when the Grizzlies are passing the ball, they're able to find the balance to where they're consistently getting as good a shot as possible as many times as possible on the offensive end. So the Grizzlies passing the basketball, to me, is a big thing. The Grizzlies getting the rebounding edge early is going to be a big thing. Obviously, making the Warriors work and defending the three, but the Grizzlies also making sure that they are looking for the best shot possible. Again, I don't think that the Grizzlies are likely going to find a lot of success out shooting the Warriors from three in most games. Again, I don't mean to harp on this point because I don't want it to seem as if I think that it was a fluke. But I'm just saying it's going to be hard again to replicate the Grizzlies being able to hold the Warriors to 8 of 37 from 3. And the thing is that the Grizzlies are not the type of roster that wants to get into a three-point shooting battle with the Warriors. They're just not as good at it. That's them playing the Warriors game. So I know that the Warriors are also crowding the paint, but if the Grizzlies rely on ball movement a bit more, finding the right angles for their players to be able to drive by finding good passes, I think that with how Ja is driving to the basket, you may be able to find a bit more lanes for others if the ball were to move. And the Grizzlies are especially going to have to do that. And especially you're going to have to value finding the best shot as much as possible, even if it does lead to a lot of twos. They're especially going to have to do that if Desmond Bane once again is limited when it comes to his offensive performance. Moving the basketball, remaining good with three-point defense, letting Jaw cook as he needs to, but also making sure that other players are playing effectively off the ball, and offensive balance is certainly there. Maybe even Steven Adams getting some early assists. That could be the difference in game three. Get rebounds. Get ready to defend the three again. Get Jaw going early. And obviously, get the ball moving. I think that those things are certainly the difference in this game. And also, make your free throws. You see what happened in game two when we finally made free throws at a good clip. We wound up winning the game even with our offense not playing as good as it did in game one. It's going to be a fun game. Going to be a lot of fun seeing the Grizzlies on this stage. Once again, don't forget this important fact. The last time that the Grizzlies and Warriors played in a game that mattered when it came to the postseason, it was the Grizzlies that won. I know a lot's changed. I understand that. I know that there may not be much value in that statement. But my whole point is that despite as young as this Grizzlies team is, they have experience winning big games on the road over the past two seasons, and that includes experience beating the Warriors with the Grizzlies on the road to make the playoffs last year. They've been here before. They've done it before. I feel strongly that the Grizzlies will get it done in at least one of these next two games, and they'll be able to push this series back to Memphis, at least tied. Could be even better, but I think at the end of the day, the most likely scenario is this series comes back to Memphis this upcoming Wednesday, tied 2-2. And we'll be here with you the whole way talking all Grizzlies basketball. Make sure you check out the Locked On Grizzlies podcast on all podcast platforms right here on YouTube as well. Hit that subscribe button below. My name's Sean Coleman. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. Until next time, make sure you also check out DeMichael Cole as well. He's traveling to Golden State to join the Grizzlies in their pursuit of a Game 3 victory. And don't forget, we'll be right back here with you after Game 3 to discuss all the happenings. Again, happy early Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Certainly hope that the Grizzlies give all the mothers in Grizzdom something to celebrate beyond Mother's Day, which is a Game 3 victory. We'll have y'all covered following that game here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Have a great day.